Good morning. Thank you, worship team. This morning, for those that don't know me, yes, I'm Jan Koor, and for your reference, I'm probably, if I have to introduce myself, me and Rick are best pals since probably 1998. And if there's someone that knows all his sin and weakness, it's probably me, and well, obviously his wife, I would hope. But he also knows all mine. So I'm surprised sometimes if he allows me to preach here at your church, knowing what he knows. And yes, I do come from the Northern Cape. He did tell me I must speak English. I said, praat jylle Afrikaans? Wie praat net Engels hier? Of wie verst Engels? We've got some English. See, I had to prepare it in English. This morning was like, the expectations now Afrikaans, and now I've prepared in English, and which is already a miracle in my case. I always tell the story, so you've probably heard it, but I genuinely, and don't worry, Jesus sanctified me along the way, but I was convinced at school that when the Bible talked about the Gentiles, it was the English. But don't worry, God sanctified me. Ironically enough, my children are English, and my teenage daughter is at that stage, she can really talk fast, and she has a bit of ADHD, so it goes between topics, and I often look at her and like, in my mind, and I'm going like, I don't have a cooking clue what she's saying right now, but I can see she's excited about something. So yes, I will speak in English. Like I said, it's a miracle that I can. And I've got some props today. Now, Rick showed me he will bring a letter. I didn't think it will be this dirty. Maybe it's good. I probably should not climb on it. Who of you this morning, and you will quickly learn from me, that while I'm preaching, I like it when you guys participate, even if it's your heart, your mind. So I will hopefully... Please stay engaged while I talk. Who of you this morning felt the Holy Spirit like prompting on you like about God's wonder? It always like if you go like this, you know, this is like I need to, you know, a quicker view, you know, because we are together here this morning in a journey to hear what God wants to say. You know, one of the interesting things I will talk today about being a bit of a control freak. I like to be in control. I'm a bit control freakish. And this morning I didn't come to your intercession, but typically, if you preach at a church, do you know what people always pray beforehand? Now, remember, I like to be in a bit of in control. Then they start praying things like, yes, God, and give the preacher this morning a word, even that he didn't prepare it. That moment usually for me is like, no, let's stick to the program. You know, I'm comfortable. It's already difficult even to stand here. I don't know if you, I think people like Rick might enjoy the crowd, but me myself, I would much rather sit where you're sitting right there this morning and in a sense receive. So help me help you. We into this together, okay? I do work at the church, but my role is more in leadership and administration, and we help that show. For that slide that you saw about the global prayer and fast, that comes from our office. So my work is usually to sign off things that's excellent. Ironically enough, I see my PowerPoint is not going to work probably on your system this morning, and I will have to deal it with me internally. But anyway, who of you felt again God wants to show to you something about his wonder? Who is hungry for that? Who of you know also you've got a bit of a frustration with that? Not knowing. I mean, it's always, I'm also very privileged. I have some of the best worship people in my team. You know, and they typically sing like this morning, we see your beauty. Who of you know what it actually means? Sometimes it's like, obviously when people wrote those songs, they now in this moment where they see it, and then they sing it for us, and then we must now also see it. You will see this morning, I'm probably going to challenge us with typical church lingo stuff. Some of those stuff that we all think about, but we don't like talking about it. It's like God's awesomeness, His greatness, the fear of the Lord, His beauty. When we sing something like that, we sing there this morning, His beauty, I think it's on all His ways. What does it even mean? I didn't look back this morning, but I'm sure when the words were there, a lot of you were like going like that. And I would be so interested to know what is going on in on everybody's mind right there. Do you experience God's beauty in all His ways in your life? What's going on there? Sometimes we have some frustrations, and it's actually good to have that frustration because God wants to talk to us about it. So, this morning, I've got this letter here, and why I have it here is exactly for some people, and I've been here. I'm not going to climb on it. Is it okay? Imagine me climbing on it. It looks a bit dodgy. Anyway, so I think what happens a lot of times when people get saved in church and through teachings and stuff, we think, and it's not the church's fault, it's not the preacher's fault, it's not the teacher's fault. It's you will see it's like the serpent, the devil tries to distract us. And we get this idea, even now, to see more of God's wonder, what do you think you need to do to see more of God's wonder? Quickly, give me a few answers. What do we need to do to see more of God's wonder? Yes? Get in His presence, okay? How do we get into His presence? By praying, okay? In His Word? More? Yes? Giving yourself totally to Him? Yes? More? Must I repeat the question? I sometimes forget my own questions. What do we need to do to experience or to see God's wonder? Yes? All right, sorry. Okay. He says nothing. Oh, you guys would have loved to answer him now. But anyway, I will answer that a bit. What? Somebody else want to say? Go into nature? Yeah, well, the Bible says so. Anyone else? Yes? You become less, He becomes more. Okay. Yes, anything else? Nobody sees God's wonder in church. Nobody mentioned church. Small groups. Do you guys need some small group training, it seems? Anyway, so now we've got all these beautiful answers that we know. And I want to go with the typical ones, just for the exercise, that we think the more here's God's wonder and His presence, and the more we read the Bible, the more we pray, the more we go to church, the more we do nothing, all whatsoever our answers were there, the more we do of that, the more we will get closer to Him. The problem is all of us fail. So now the moment when you don't read enough Bible, we don't pray enough. Because who of you think you pray enough? You see, I think a lot of our frustrations is that we often get to a place where we stand here and think these are these rules, these requirements to do. But we forget the why after each of those. Why do we read Bible? Why do we go to church? Why do we small groups? Why do we pray? Why do we all those things? In the other side, Rick was so nice. He quickly made it yesterday. We've got a cross. And in a tattoo, you will see it's a bit different. That one, I want to remind you, is like the tree of good and evil. But here is life and death, and it's with Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, His invitation is very simple, actually. He says, follow me. There's many people that do all the things that we just mentioned there and still don't see God's wonder. But now, if I say, when Jesus says, follow me. Now, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Even in the song, we also sing the words that we become like children. Last time I was here, I was also talking about children, maturity, immaturity, and stuff like that. You know, one of the amazing things of children is their imagination. When God says, worship Him with all your verstand, what is it in English? With your mind. Where's your imagination in that picture? In your mind. Can I ask you this, and even already this, I'm happy if you even just walk out with this morning. When last did you praise God with your imagination? If He says, let's praise Him with His, worship Him with our mind, well, your imagination is part of that. It's always amazing how we don't mind using our imagination when we read a book or stuff like that. But when we, in God's presence, or when we read the Bible, even in moments like this, when last did you worship God with your imagination? Now we're going to practice this now. I want you all to close your eyes. I just said Jesus standing here this morning and He says, follow me. I want you to imagine Jesus standing and saying to you, follow me. I want you to imagine that picture. And you can open your eyes again. In that picture, a curious question I'm going to ask you. This is not exact science. Wait, how far did Jesus stand from you when He asked you that question? For a lot of us, if we, after we got saved and we've learned many principles in church, often, is it my, when we think about Jesus saying, following me, depending on how our relationship with Him, is it, do you need to change your battery or is it normal here that the mic goes up and down? Otherwise, I'm just going to go without the mic, but then your children church people will probably not hear. Anyway, how far do Jesus stand from you in those image? Because we sometimes think, if we know there's many things that we need to do, like pray, read more Bible, and especially if you haven't done it enough, you would probably picture Jesus a further distance. But if you have a relationship where you realize that Jesus paid for everything, and you are aware of His wonder and awe in your life, the chance is good He will be much closer to you when He says, follow me. Does that make sense? I want to quickly, and I think this slide is not going to work nicely on your screen. Next slide there, please. It's not too bad. There's the fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, and then a lot of times, and you would see my title is, do we water the fruit or do we water the roots? And again, I feel that when we are aware, that we lack some fruit. And there's the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's just my own list, but that's typical stuff like envy. We're cynical. We have worldly comfort. And it's just another way of saying addictions or behavior that we struggle to get rid of. Anger, detach, loneliness, manipulation, fear of commitment, defensiveness, guilt and shame. When we want to improve things, how do we usually do it? How do you do these things in your life? How do you look at the fruit of the Spirit in your own life? And what I think is often when we look in the mirror, we are reminded of the fruit of the Spirit that we do not have. And the same as the devil also loves telling us which fruit we do not have. But even more in his strategy, it gets us to focus on the fruit. I mean, all of us sitting here or standing here want to have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The reality is there's many people in the world that is not Christians that also have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Even better than us. So what is the difference? Obviously, the difference should be Christ. So we all can, and this is where a lot of people are at in their lives, they work on their fruit in their life. The things that they think is expected from them. But it actually, on the end of the day, just makes you tired. If it's not Jesus producing those fruits in your life. That's why it's much better for us to water our roots. For those that's farmers and so on, if the fruit are not good, the chance is good there's something wrong in the root system or the soil. Okay? I'm not going to go through these verses, but if you just, I'm just going to, next one quickly. We want to have love, like the, just going to read the first verse there. We love because He first loved us. With all the fruit of the Spirit is, we should produce it because He is. Okay? Not true because we worked on it. And you can go to the next slide, just the last verse in the next slide. It is, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is where the nothing comes in a bit. Now, here I want to have a next slide. A list. How do we actually water the root? How do we bear good fruit if I say we don't necessarily focus on the fruit? Now, there's 9 verses, there's probably more, but the Bible says not to focus on the flesh. I want to say not even focus on the fruit, but it says walk by the Spirit. Now, all of these things on one line is that I think a lot of us don't always know what it means. Walk by the Spirit. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Seek godly wisdom. Set your thoughts on heavenly things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm going to focus this morning a bit on this one. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Abide in Christ. Take every thought captive. Just on that one. Take every thought captive. Who of you have also learned that you take every bad thought captive? Have you ever noticed that's not in the Bible? It says, take every thought captive. How do you take every thought captive in Christ? Okay? Be transformed by renewing your mind. Do not be conformed by this world. Now for me, do not be conformed to this world is the same as, well, if they can all have the fruit and they can produce it, I don't want to produce the fruit of the Spirit the way they do. Okay? And then I just want to into like the principle, you all know this. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and life in abundance. What is the thing that the devil wants to steal and destroy in your life? Who can tell me? What is the thing that God or the devil wants to steal and destroy in your life? Everything that's good? I see my slides are already on there, so the answer is there. The thing that the devil wants to steal in your life is your joy, peace, and identity. Why does he want to steal and destroy those things? Because God wants to give those things in abundance. And if you get that in abundance, you can give it away. It's very difficult to give something away that you didn't get. So the devil wants to steal and destroy. Now we sometimes hear that part and think, my car broke down. The devil stole from me. No, not yet. If he steals your joy when your car broke down, yeah, well, that's a problem. Now he's stealing from you. So you get many people, even when the car broke down, that didn't steal their joy. Because they know what the devil's trying to do. Where God wants to give us that life in abundance. And the question is, how do we get to that? If you go to the next slide. Before you click next. I think one of the strongest strategies that the devil uses in our life is to keep our mind occupied by a sense of the things that we lack. If you would think about your Christian life even this morning, or about your life, the things that you praying mostly of about. My own English is dead, totally. I've got a lack in English grammar and vocabulary. Anyway, so what is the things the devil likes us to think about, the things we lack? Quickly close your eyes and think about the typical prayers in your life. How much of your prayers, how much of the things that bother you is because you are aware of something that you lack? You can open your eyes. Who of you have realized that most of your prayers are most likely, or the things that bother you, the things that keep you back in life, is because there's things that you are aware of that you are lacking it. Who of you can see that in your own life? Where the opposite is, and we read in Philippians, you can click on Philippians 4 verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So, something that we just need to, or what I want to just quickly show you out here, contentment. For me, there's four. Let me start again. I think you've been doing a few series with Rick about growth. How do you know you are growing? There's four things that I can identify that is a sign of growth. The one is contentment. A mature Christian have contentment. Okay? So if you want to think of your own life, think how much contentment it is. Remember when Philippians, as far as I remember, this book that is probably written the most about joy and contentment is while Paul is in jail. So he's talking about his contentment while in jail. So the devil wants to get us to focus on what we lack I don't have enough money. I don't have enough anointing. I don't have enough gifts. I do not read my Bible enough. I lack Bible knowledge. I lack prayer. I lack understanding more of the Holy Spirit. I lack. Where contentment means is of what God is giving me. Interesting enough, just again, it's good to sometimes like to, even when we read the Bible, to use our imagination. Where is the tree of good and evil and the tree of life in the garden with Adam and Eve? It's in the middle, center. We can assume it from the word. Now, the interesting thing is that, have you ever thought about this, that Eve, remember, this is creation. It's going rough there, so by jullie kinde. Gelukkig. Gelukkig het ek 4 kinders, so ek, daar is nog nie bloed nie, is okay. Isn't it fascinating in the story of Adam and Eve, that it's the whole creation. We said this morning, we can see God's wonder in creation, which is true. Can you imagine Eve, in her mind, walk past whole of creation? She walked past every single blessing. She walked past every single provision and was aware of the one thing, just the one thing she's lacking. Now, the devil do the same with us. He will get us to miss all the blessings, all the good things, and get us to focus on the one thing that we miss. Now, in our case, because we're not in the garden, there's a few things he can remind us. So how do we get this? Just from 1 Timothy 6, I'm just going to quickly read this for you. Now, there's a great gain in godliness. See, godliness is contentment. Sorry, just to mention, what's the other four? I'm going to mention the one light only. Four things of the signs of growth. The one is contentment, if you want to write this down. The other one is you can boast in your weakness. I'm going to mention the other later. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into this world and we cannot take anything out of the world. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, again, even that last verse, some people read this as money is bad, blah, blah, blah. No, it's the, if money makes that you are not fully content with the experience in your heart that God will never leave and forsake you. If you want more money because you want to make up for that, then money is bad. If you are aware that God will never leave and forsake you, like 100% that revelation, then money is not bad. Because God just wants us to be free of the sense of lacking. Because the moment we have that sense of lacking, we are in bondage. You all get it? So money is not the issue. The sense of lacking of money is the issue. Are you with me? Are you learning something? Another interesting verse that we all mentioned, and somebody said this morning, it's what is good. Romans 8 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him. Here's the third one. Sorry, I forgot. That's why I couldn't mention the third one. Just here's the third one. A mature person has grown know how to love their enemy. Anyway, back to Romans 8. Works for the good. When you hear works for the good, what do you think the word good means there? We love repeating this verse. But what does that mean for the good. I think often in our mind, our tendency is to think, well, God will somehow fix this. Somehow, something good will happen from this. The circumstances will somehow be okay. Who of you, this is what in your mind when you read this? Well, the answer is actually in the next verse. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So when the Bible says in Romans, oh, everything will work for good, what they're actually saying is, I will use these circumstances to make you more like Christ. So it's good. Pray that verse. Yes, God, let these circumstances work for the good. Now, here is a difference between us and other religions. When we have struggles and frustrations and stuff in our life, it's a bit different than the approach of the rest of the religions. And all of them have something that's actually not bad, but none of them always included Jesus. So our Western world, which is like a religion by some secularism, tells us when we have some struggles, pain or whatever, what must we do? We must manage it. We must get habits to help us with those areas. That's basically secularism. Buddhism says basically detach yourself from the pain. And then I've got like an 8-point plan. Obviously, all of that involve you, the 8-point plan. But detach yourself from the pain, okay? Islam basically says, this is just a test. You need to be more purified, more clean, stuff like that. Which is, again, it's not totally wrong. Hinduism says it's karma. You did something and now you're going to get the consequences, basically. And all of them are a bit, there's some truth in all of them. But in Christianity, it's actually Jesus says, now I want to be part of the whole suffering and pain. I want to go in there. And this is where things get interesting. How do we get to that place where God becomes part of your life? And all of us, and in our sufferings and struggles and stuff, the thing that we actually have the greatest need for is for God's love in that area. Now, how did He do it? Obviously, we can follow Jesus. Jesus, if I read to you quickly, Luke 3, verse 22, 2 Peter 1, verse 17, it says, and God said, the Holy Spirit descended on Him, bodily form, like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. All of us, as we sit here, has a desire for that revelation in our heart. Some of us have tasted it once or twice in our life. But God actually wants to give that type of love to us often. Now, how does He do it? And this is the part that you might not like. But He takes us through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, there is basically three temptations. And you will see, even now in your life, think of something that's really frustrating or you're struggling in your life right now or currently in your life or somebody. A situation or something that's on your mind quite often that you struggle with. You know it's irritating, frustrating, all those things altogether. The chances is good. Did all of you get something that you can think of? Is there anyone here without any frustrations? The chances is good that these three temptations that Jesus had in the wilderness somehow is connected to your frustration. And the beautiful thing of the process that Jesus takes us through is when we can overcome these temptations in your life, He can reveal something of His love to you. So there is a part where we are part of this process, but with Jesus the whole time. I'm just going to quickly go through it. The first one is the desire for comfort. So, again, I've already mentioned this one a bit. It's when we dwell on the things that we lack. Then we are, usually the things that we lack are the things that we want for our comfort. And with comfort also comes discomfort. Who of you this morning, when they sing that song right in the beginning, the children's song, who of you were very uncomfortable? Are you guys all comfortable? Do you all like that? Some of you are scared to put up your hand here. It's like, who of you were uncomfortable? There's somebody. Oh, wow, you guys are... We do it for the children. I know. How do we deal with desires of comfort? Now, this can be many comforts, eh? Addictions, worldly possessions. How do we overcome? See, here we have root issues now. How do we water these roots so that we can overcome comfort in our life or discomfort? The first thing is to learn to trust God. And how do you do it? By practicing vulnerability and dependence on God. But in the same one here, I just want to, because of the exercise we just did, there's a difference between honesty and vulnerability. Honesty is you say what is honest. Vulnerability is you show, you in a sense put your emotions on the table. I'm sure there isn't just two people that was uncomfortable with that song this morning. By the way, there's nothing wrong with the song. But when you deal with that, let's say it's in an environment like this, people are afraid to say, I was a bit uncomfortable with that. Why are we afraid of that? It's the discomfort. We are afraid somebody will judge what we do. But then, if we judge, we here and not there. And if we are afraid of what people will think of us, we're also here and not there. Because if you trust God, we trust because God trusts me. And because I can trust God, that's why I can trust other people. Even if they can't hurt me. Does it make sense? Just for this clarity, there's nothing wrong to have desires to have, want to want needs and stuff. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you desires of your heart. And then I just quickly want to show you the difference between root, watering the root versus watering the fruit. When we say, Lord, help me stop being angry. Who of you have prayed that prayer? Elke dag, om jullie te kinders. I understand. Lord, help me stop being angry. Well, versus, Lord, show me what my anger reveals about my trust in You. You see, the one is, God helps me with my anger. Now, God actually do wants to help you with that. But if your focus is just the anger, you are just aware of something that's lacking, something that you want to get rid of. Where God says, now I want to talk to you about my trust. Let's talk about it, because that is relational. A lot of our prayers is non-relational. We ask for things non-relational. Doesn't make sense? The same it is, God, I need financial provision versus Father. What fears about provision reveal my doubts about Your care? What am I afraid of if God will not provide? If I don't have enough money, what would happen? Why am I afraid if God is the provider? Does it make sense? Does it raak dit, trigger it iets in julle? please heal my relationship, versus how is this relationship struggle revealing where I need to know your love deeper? Help me overcome this addiction. How many of you pray this one? What empty places am I trying to fill apart from you? You see, the one is non-relational here. I need to do more, get to it more. And the one is saying, Jesus, this following thing, let's talk about that. Because Jesus don't stand afar and say, follow me. He's like this. Follow me. And then he walks with you. Many of us don't allow him to walk with us because we keep staying, I want to say, in the rational part of our brain. We just want to figure it out. Okay? Next one is the desire for recognition. Jesus was tempted by this and his admiration. A sense of proof. Who of you ever feel like this deep sense that I need to prove myself to other people, or that not just prove myself to other people, also to myself? What is that a sign, or what is the root issue here? If you don't mind, who of you feel that often? I have the need to prove myself. See, we're practicing vulnerability. When we have that sense in us, I need to prove myself to somebody, the chances is good you also struggle with the temptation of recognition. You want to be seen. You want to be recognized. You sometimes feel unwanted. Nobody wants my opinion. Nobody ever listens to me. What do we do about that problem, about that temptation? The Bible says, basically, Jesus shows us by replacing lies with truth. What is the truth that we need to learn is that we are a new creation. And here's the beautiful thing about the cross and Jesus when it comes to the new creation. Very few of us can look in the mirror and see a new creation. But God, it actually says in his word that he, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he loves to be the work, busy with his workmanship in your life. He's busy making something beautiful from you. So a good picture of this would be probably like a piece of wood or a piece of rock. And when God looks at that piece of rock and wood, he can already see a perfect art inside. We can't. When we usually look in the mirror, we just see a piece of rock or a piece of wood. But as we start getting to replace lies with truth in our life, it actually allows God to form us. It's the same when we focus to water the fruit and it's from our own effort. Who is the potter bucker? And who's the clay? Some of us this morning again need to say, God, let you be the one. I will follow Jesus. And in every single circumstances that we go with our frustrations and stuff like these temptations that I'm mentioning, is a great moment to say to Jesus, now's a great time to follow you, but I will help you with that again. Another thing of this temptation is people-pleasing issues. See, the problem is not that people misusing you. The problem is that you are insecure to say no. So you need to find your identity in Christ. The only way you can find identity in Christ is you need the impartation of God's love in your life. When last did you experience an impartation of God's love in your life? And here it is, something that God put in place for us. Very few of us can do it by yourself, except if you're in that good place where you can see God's wonder. And here's the part that most of us don't like. God will use other people. God will use other people to show something of his love. That's why the Bible say, if there's one gift of the Holy Spirit to want, is prophecy. What is the beautiful thing about prophecy? Prophecy, when we pray for somebody, they get, hear something of God's love in their life. Can I just quickly, a shofar thing, it's an in-house thing now. And shofar, we've got a counter 1, 3, and 4. All of you, when you did encounter 3 and 4, did you experience God, something of God's love there? For those that have done it, We've done encounter 3 and 4, yeah? Old foundation 3, 4. Put up your hand quickly. Who of you also got something about God's love in encounter 3 and 4? Now, here's the weird thing that we as humans do. Well, I've already done encounter 3, so I don't need to do it again. Yes, that's fine if you can get by yourself in your own quiet time God's love. But if you struggle, why do you struggle? The self-inflicted pain. If you struggle to hear God's love more and more and more, well, do 3 and 4 again. Just because it's 1, 2, 3, 4 doesn't mean you tick it off. It's just weird. Some of us are asking God for something that's already on the table. Okay. You could see I get passionate about this part. I'm just going to read these slides to you and then we go on. Don't worry, I will be finished just now. When your identity is rooted in the world, it leads to anxiety and insecurity. The world's standards are constantly shifting. And trying to keep up with can lead to exhaustion. Who of you are a bit tired? Dallas Willard describes this as a burden of the false self. We try to be somebody basically that we're not. Where people are trapped in a cycle of performance and fear of failure. Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us to bring our anxieties to God, trusting that He will provide. If your life is marked by chronic anxiety about your worth, identity, or success, it may be a sign that you are conforming to the world. When your identity is rooted in Christ, you will notice a shift in your desires. You will increasingly want to please God rather than seeking approval from others. As Paul says in Galatians, I am now trying to win the approval of humans, of beings, or of God. This growing desire to align your will with God is a sign that Christ is shaping your identity. When your identity is secure in Christ, you begin to experience peace and contentment. So how do you get contentment in life? You put your identity in Christ. That transcends circumstances. The Lord Willard calls this the peace of the easy yoke, where the pressure of worldly achievement no longer define you. Philippians promise that the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. This deep peace is a sign of you that you are trusting in Christ's sufficiency rather than striving for validation from the world. And then the last one of the temptations is the desire of control. I already told you I've got a bit of control issues. And what we like is predictability. We like order. Many of us, we've already mentioned this morning, when we struggle with something like anger, especially with our children and people around us, do you know often those anger are there because we have certain expectations of them and myself, and when those expectations don't get met, I become angry. A lot of the times with your children, why do we get angry at our children? Because we can't control them. So when you're angry at your children, there's probably a better way of doing this. So the Bible teaches us to learn surrendering, practicing godly wisdom, where we don't want to surrender, like in this case, is where the devil starts saying to you, but won't they do it again? Will they not hurt you again? Won't you fail again? I've got 3 more things that I want to. Are you all still awake? More or less. Dankie vir die eerlikheid. I like eerlikheid. Who of you need to quickly stand up? 3 slides, finish. Is anybody fine? Can everyone focus? Next slide there. So this is the 4th one. Can go, next slide. 4th one of a mature Christian where the roots are good. We don't focus on doing the right thing, but the good thing. to quickly explain this to you, well, I can read my notes there, but I want to demonstrate it too. The right thing might be justifiable and clear, but it can sometimes be rooted in human reasoning. Often when something happens again with you, and usually it happens in the moment, we don't usually have the time. But if you can learn to not think in your mind what's the right thing to do, but what's the good thing to do. And what I mean by what's the good thing to do is, let me give you one of the most amazing questions you can ask in every single moment. And that is, God, how can I please you right now? What will be pleasing to you right now? You see, when somebody will demonstrate some injustice to you, you are justified to do the right thing. You can justify what you want to do, but it's not necessarily the good thing to do. Are you with me? But this is not that easy, but this is where probably some of the most amazing growth can happen. When we say wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is that all time, knowing that God's here with me, right next to me. He's with me right here. And whatever I do, He's right here. And I must remember that. So the fear of the Lord is the start of all wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is a difficult thing to grasp. But I think it is James 3 that shows us that wisdom is to do, and there's one of those amazing verses in the Bible, it's probably the only one that I know of, that says, try to discern what pleases the Lord. Isn't it amazing? God actually knows we're not always going to get it right. Try to learn to discern what pleases the Lord. Can you think how your relationships, your prayer life, your worship will change when you start thinking in every single moment, God, what will please you? Let me tell you a quick testimony. Now, I've told this to my staff, and I could see they were like, can't believe he's our manager type of thing. So, my one son made me extremely angry. He basically told me, if you have children, yes, sorry, there's a few. He basically told me, no, he just wants to do things with me when he gets something from it. Now, in my back of my mind, many things goes off now. Egocentric, ill-discipline, all the temptations of Jesus there. So many things, and now I'm staying calm. I'm doing all the fruit of the Spirit. All of them, and I says to him, Andre, but that really hurts me when you say something, because I really like spending time with you. And now I walk away. Now, what would you expect would happen now? Imagine yourself quickly in this. He would come out and say, I'm sorry. But now he's not coming. So now I go to bed, and then the next day I am deep quiet. Now I'm getting more angry. Now the human side in me, now the evening I have to take him to sport. Now I decide I want him, like I said, I'm going to be vulnerable. You're going to see a lot of weakness and things that still need to be sanctified, okay? But it's to help you too. So now I'm taking him to sport, and I decided I will give him the silent treatment. I will spite him. I want him to feel pain, remorse. I know I'm the only person who would do something like that. So yeah, I drive with him. Guess what? He doesn't talk back. And I left him there at the sport, and now I'm driving back, and I'm like, God, this is also not working. And I'm so angry, and my heart is really, the roots are really bad. And I know it. And in that moment, I'm like saying to God, I'm getting this wrong. Help me. But still, I'm very angry, you know. So it's like one of those, just help me. That evening, I get my, some of you might get it too, YouVersion verses of the day. So I get it around 8 o'clock. And it vibrates on my watch when I get one. And when I got it, I was watching cricket that moment. I hear like a little voice, this one is for you. You asked me to help you. But I'm still very angry. And so I don't usually read those because I'm actually not a great fan of just one verse. I want to see the context. This was the verse, do not repay evil for evil. Or reviling for reviling. And he said, but in contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now go like this. Can't think anywhere of a blessing right now. Anyway, I'm so angry. I'm still angry, but now it's in my mind. It's there. The next day, my other son, he wants to do a gym session with me, and so this one comes. Now I still look at him like this. He still hasn't showed any sorrow, anything. Now I want to say to him, are you going to get something? You know? You all been here, I know, yeah. Now I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me, what would be pleasing unto the Lord right now? You see, the right thing could be for me to discipline him, to give him a long speech. I could justify it. But in that moment, I hear God says, what will be pleasing to him? And yes, here I do force myself to be obedient. So what I want to show you, I did show most of those fruit of spirit. I didn't lose my anger or any of those things. But I still didn't grow closer to God. Now I'm at the place where I more often hear God's voice saying to me, what is pleasing unto me in every moment? If you want to practice wisdom, keep on asking that question. By the way, we didn't even talk about it. The next day, I got this opportunity to bless him, and it was amazing. Could see something. But the thing that's changed the most is obviously in my life. Last verse that I want to read to you. Sorry for going that long. I'm going to stop at on an hour. Ephesians 3 verse 16 to 21. This is such a powerful passage. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened, so that he can strengthen us, not us, with power through his spirit. He wants to do it through his spirit. In your inner being. Inner being is roots. So that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. The question you want to ask yourself every day is, on the best prayer to ask, Jesus, come dwell in my heart. When you say dwell in my heart, do you know that dwell, I don't think I've got the Greek here, but it's to dwell in your heart makes make yourself home in my heart. Do you know that God wants to feel home in your heart even when you get it wrong? He still wants to be there. Even to make it finish that story that I had with my son, we went to church and we did this thing, and at some stage I've got this like story with them. Say thank you for God for three things. Say sorry. Thank you for three things. Ask for two things and say sorry for one thing. That's like a thing that I do with my children. But this time I asked him, now I want you to imagine what God wants you to say for is thankful. Anyway, the next morning, long story short, I actually hear the Holy Spirit asking me the same question. He's asking me, what are you thankful? And it's like the Holy Spirit asking me, What do you think I am thankful about you? And the first thing that I was thinking was like my bad roots demonstrating there with my child. And then God is like God saying to me, do you know that I am thankful for that moment? Because I could dwell in your heart. I saw my fruit, my roots, as bad. God saw He is part of my life. Even if I got it wrong, mostly. But God is thankful for me that I allow Him to be part of my failures and success. That's the God that we serve. That is a wonderful, awesome God. Dwell in your hearts through faith that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I ask you right at the beginning, why do we have small groups in church? There was the answer. We cannot comprehend God's love by ourselves. When we come together like a morning like this and in a small group, the why is to comprehend God's love because it's too much for one person to comprehend. If you're not part, if you're isolated, I can promise you, you're going to struggle to comprehend the love of God because no man can do it by himself. So when you come to church in a small group, your attitude should be, because I'm grounded in love, I'm going to come and comprehend love with my fellow people. When you're in a small group, we're not supposed to give one another advice and tell them what to do more. We're supposed to talk about how are we going to comprehend God's love in this? How are we going to help each other surrender here? How are we going to help overcome our comfort issues, people pleasing, all those things? But the answer is grounded in love. And know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So we have prayers in our minds, but God wants to give much more that we can even imagine. Isn't that amazing? According to the power of work within us, Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. This is where God's glory is in the church, when we see that love. So, just by the way, just to maybe help Rick, it's not the pastor's job. The glory of God are shown when we comprehend love between one another, in church, with ourselves, and in a small group. That's why we do the things we do. Through all the generations, forever and ever, amen. And that's also my amen. We can all stand, please. Sorry for preaching that long. I didn't preach that much. I want you us all to close your eyes. And where you stand is, I want to ask you to ask God, what can I do right now that's pleasing unto you? And because this is like I want to say time limited. What did you hear this morning that you know you need the grace of God, the grace of His love in that specific area? Which area of your life do you realize you need to comprehend more of His love, not because of you lacking something, but because you hear God's and the Holy Spirit's invitation to take hands. And now I want to do something that a little bit different than we usually do. I want us, because we are part of those saints, and we comprehend God's love together as saints, I want you to, if you are comfortable, because we can't force anyone, but I want you to go to somebody and share that. I want you to practice vulnerability. I want you to practice surrendering. I want you to practice giving over control. And to be honest and vulnerable with somebody, and just share with them the thing that you believe in, what area of your life. And don't share areas of fruit that needs to change. Areas of roots that needs to change. I'm going to end off with prayer. And I'm going to, in that time even of prayer, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is that root that He is showing you this morning? And I know I want you to go and share it with somebody. They might sing a song here, but I want you to go to somebody and talk to them. Because it's not a spectating sport. We are here to comprehend God's love as saints together. And if you are even standing here, and even after you've talked to somebody and you still do not comprehend some of God's love, you are more than welcome to come forward and I will pray for you. Not because I'm wonderful, but I will trust God for a word. Not because I'm one of those, but just because I trust God and I trust the love that He has for each one here. Amen. Father, we want to thank You, God, that You're an awesome God, a wonder God. Thank You how You started this service to remind us of this. Thank You, Jesus, that there is no ladder that we need to climb. But we can just fix our eyes on You. Thank You, God, that You are part of our success and our failures. Thank You, God, that we can take every thought captive for You in Christ. Thank You, God, that You are taking us through wildernesses. Because the reward is a stronger love and identity in You. Thank You, God, that we can give over all control over to You. Even in the announcements, she already prayed it. God, ons gee beheer oor aan U. I pray, God, now for something special to happen, that when we talk to one another, we will minister Your love to one another. And I thank You, God, that we can come take back the joy, peace that You've given to us. Thank You, God, for life in abundance. Thank You, God, that we do not need to struggle like the rest of the world. Thank You, Holy Spirit, and we ask You, and even where you stand, just ask, Holy Spirit, come dwell in my heart. Come dwell in my mind. Come make alive my imagination to worship You also with my imagination, also with my emotions, and also in truth. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.